98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy in this morning, and a excellent article came out yesterday from June Lee of Bleacher Report. He sat down with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they talked about essentially everything that has happened since his trade. On top of that, what it was like to be the backup of Tom Brady, what the competitive dynamic was, and also his love of the TV show Entourage was the one disgusting thing that came out of it. He would watch it 2 to 3 times, which is completely inexcusable. You can't do that. But it was a gift that June Lee has to get such embarrassing moments out of somebody. So I guess it's a credit to him. June, what's up, man? Welcome to Toucher and Rich.
How's it going, guys? Really happy to be on the show.
Oh, thank you, sir. All right. So the article starts with something that seemed a bit cryptic, and it was where they were talking about, you were asking him about, it said, when a report surfaced that Tom Brady played a role in the exit of his own protege, Garoppolo felt grateful that he didn't have to answer questions in public, hightailing straight out of Boston. And his quote was, parts of it were true, parts of it I knew weren't true, parts I didn't know if they were true or not, he is saying now. Did he at any point expand on what he thought was indeed true about why he was traded to the 49ers?
Yeah, David didn't really want to expand kind of beyond that, and he wanted to talk more about the specifics of how he got to where he is now, which is in San Francisco, and how kind of being in New England and being around Coach, being around Bill Belichick and being around Tom Brady really shaped him, preparing for this moment. So that wasn't really something that he wanted to delve into.
Now June, this is something that we've talked about for a while, ever since the rumors were out there that the Browns had offered more than the 49ers. Just from all the people you talked to, why do you think Bill Belichick took essentially less to send Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers as opposed to the haul that he could have gotten if he went to the Browns?
I really kind of hate talking about like intangible things as someone who's like very invested in statistics and sabermetrics, but there's really something about Jimmy, this like charisma, something about the way he carries himself that really just gravitates people towards him. And I think that's why he was successful in San Francisco so quickly, is because his teammates really just loved him immediately. In combination of the skill set, the playmaking ability of Tony Romo, the throwing touch of Aaron Rodgers that, a bunch of people compare him to among my league sources, I think it was just a combination of all those things that Bill saw something special in Jimmy that made him want to put him in the best position to succeed. And I think at the end of the day, Bill realizes that Jimmy and his success is going to affect his ultimate legacy kind of beyond Tom Brady. If Jimmy ends up being successful, at the end of the day, when we look back at it 20 years down the road, that's going to be something that's notable, that Bill developed Jimmy Garoppolo and it's not just Tom Brady that, made him a successful coach.
So I see what you're saying about how you want him to succeed so he can kind of be like, hey, this is the guy that I wanted. And now look, world, he's a badass because I put him in a position to succeed, because if he would have gone to the Browns, he probably wouldn't have gotten as much success as he would with the 49ers. So is that also kind of an FU to the powers that be, the crafts, for essentially, from what we're hearing from reports, telling him that he had to trade Jimmy Garoppolo? Because if he ends up being a success, it's like, I was right, and maybe this is something we should have considered, keeping the guy.
Yeah, I can't really speak to that specifically, mostly because Belichick declined to comment for my piece, and I didn't have an opportunity to chat with him. But, you can kind of take it as what it is. His actions, I think, speak a lot for kind of his mentality in regards to the situation.
All right, June. One person who would talk to you about this was Kyle Shanahan, and he talked about the pressure being different in this upcoming season. He said, his first interception last year, didn't know the system, had every excuse. Now he's got the money, now he's the guy, and it's going to be different. Did you get a sense from spending time with Jimmy Garoppolo that he knows it's going to be different, and how is he dealing with that so far?
I think he definitely knows that things are different now, especially because the attention on him is very different. He's been dealing with paparazzi, which I'm sure you guys know.
We haven't seen anything. What did he do? Was he on a date or something?
that's just the rumor on the block. But okay. I mean, I think Jimmy understands kind of the pressure that's on him now, especially as a franchise quarterback. And so he's kind of taking it all in stride. I think that this is this is one of the most confident people I've ever met in my life, to be quite frank. He doesn't have a lot of insecurities, and I think a lot of that stems from the fact that he really doesn't do much outside of football. You know, his home doesn't have food. It doesn't really have clothes. Everything is at the facility, which is kind of a cliche, but it's true in Jimmy's circumstance. I think that he's very confident because that dude really, really works hard. And he's very confident in his skill set, as you know, the Tom Brady quotes that kind of blown up have shown. And I think that he knows what the situation is, and he's ready to take it all on his shoulders.
June, how do you think he looks back on his time with the Patriots? I mean, there were ups and downs. I mean, I'm thinking it's somewhat negative. There's some negativity in there based on his interactions with Brady and the fact that he never got a chance to beat him out. But how do you see it?
I think that he views it actually as an overall positive. The phrase that I heard from a lot of his family and his friends is that being in New England was like being in a masterclass. You're sitting high behind Tom Brady. You're learning the tricks of the trade, both on and off the field. You know, I really can't understate how much Brady helped Jimmy in kind of helping him off the field. He brought up finances a lot, and Brady helped him get set up there. You know, there was a report that Brady and Giselle helped set Jimmy up on a double date once. I think it was an overall positive experience. But I just think that Jimmy's still competitive internally. After his first year in New England, he really was starting to feel the urge of wanting to be the starter somewhere. And obviously, just given the circumstances and how good Tom was, kind of surprisingly, at this stage in his career, he was not necessarily expected. You know, I think part of him expected that starting opportunity would come in New England, but he knew that if this continued, that he would have to go somewhere else.
Did you ask him about his account being hacked? Remember when he ended up tweeting?
Oh, that's right. He'd been traded.
Yeah, it was a picture of him as a Patriot, and it said, "So grateful for my time in New England. Peace out, Boston." Did you ask him about that by any chance?
I actually didn't, but I mean, like from what I understand, Jimmy just doesn't really use social media anymore. He's just not on Instagram. He's not on Twitter. You know, he hasn't posted in a very, very long time. It's just because he doesn't want to devote time to it anymore. We talked a lot about kind of his Twitter account, and he, you know, there's been a bunch of tweets that have gone viral of him from back in like 2011 when he was in college. And he says, like, I just don't have the time anymore to look at my phone or do anything. And so I think he, I didn't ask him about it specifically, but I know that just from the way he uses technology in his phone, it's just not something that he would have concerned himself with to begin with.
All right, June Lee, great stuff on Bleacher Report. It was a very interesting article, and we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks. Okay, so I'm still having a hard time with Bill Belichick taking less, because I don't believe this. He just fell in love with Jimmy and wanted to do him a solid. Like, I don't believe that. I mean, what player have you seen him fawn over, Bill Belichick, and do a solid when it meant not doing what was best for the team?
Yeah, it's
think about that. I mean, think about like players who were like really close and guys that he got rid of and was kind of merciless even before you would think their time was due, because he wanted to get them while he could get the most for them. Like maybe a year early, he traded them so he could get the most value. Jimmy's got this thing and he fell in love with him and he wanted to do a solid. I don't believe that for a second. And it's weird too, because as a Patriots fan, I'm wondering how many people read this article or heard those stories and are saying, all right, well, this is very odd, because I already didn't know how to handle the Malcolm Butler situation, where the greatest coach of all time inexplicably benches a guy that we all agree, if Malcolm Butler played that game, yes, all they needed was one stop. Yep. The Patriots would have won. They would have won. I think we all agree that.
Yes.
So now, on top of that decision, there's another inexplicable decision for a guy that could almost do no wrong, where because he likes a guy, quote unquote, he ends up getting less for him because he traded him to a team. And by the way, this whole AFC thing with the Browns, we all agree that it still makes it's a non-factor if he goes to the Browns, right?
No, I'm not willing to admit that. But what
I'm not either.
But
So you think that if Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Browns, all of a sudden this was a team that the Patriots were going to have to worry about?
I'm saying
that's what you're saying.
Not
in the
next
future, year, but 2 years from now.
Belichick's looking ahead. This kid, he thinks this kid is going to be good
with that coach and that staff running the Cleveland Browns.
Maybe they're not around. Maybe the Browns sign him to a 49ers contract and a new coaching staff figures it out, and all of a sudden Belichick's got a major league pain in the ass on his hands.
Yeah, it's not just about your team. It's about setting the chess table, for all the moves that are within your control. But I do think it's interesting, Rich, that this is now just accepted as fact. It's like, yep, he had better offers, but he just he took less just to do him a solid. And there is something lying underneath there, and whether it is this a rare moment of humanity and just nice guy from Belichick doing a solid, or whether there's something more nefarious going on with his dealings within the Patriots organization, and there was some ulterior motives at play here. That is the one thing that if it's possible that there's anything that's under discussed with regard to the Patriots, it is the fact that the return on Garoppolo wasn't as high as it could have been and wasn't as high as it should have been.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who is, by all accounts, going to be, at least, at the very least, from the get-go, a top half of the league quarterback, or expected to be, game one of his first full season as a starter.
Yes.
And to only get a second rounder in return,
especially
it's been talked
way,
about a lot, but I don't think it's been talked about enough.
Every NFL team is looking to build around a quarterback. There have been franchises that have gone two decades looking for a quarterback. Look at the New York Jets. Look at the Miami Dolphins. Look at the Buffalo Bills and the quarterbacks those three franchises have cycled through the last two decades. You have a great quarterback, you hang on to him for a long time, and the 49ers got one dumped in their lap. I too think Garoppolo is going to be really good. And a top half quarterback right from the start.
All right, we had something happen this morning that definitely needs to be revisited. There was a certain emergency that happened on the show.
Yep.
That we will revisit.
9:05 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy in this morning. It's 7:04. And did you read the entire Garoppolo article, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
There was one part of it, though, that and obviously I want to like Jimmy Garoppolo. He seems like an okay guy. He was a good soldier when he was here. But then I read one part of it that just kind of gave me the shudder, almost the way that you said he didn't seem very smart wanting to move to the Seaport District when he practices in Foxborough. That seems like an all-time dumb decision. However, there was one section in it that made me kind of cringe, and it was this. Quote, in college, Jimmy and his friend Worm watched Entourage together. Every season, 3 or 4 times. And Jimmy never really related to Vinny Chase, the show's movie star protagonist. But now, he's got talk show hosts screaming about him in the morning, cornerbacks talking blank about him in the afternoon, and the paparazzi following him around at night. Brady and Giselle once organized a double date with Garoppolo and a model friend of theirs, but the relationship didn't work out. Quote, it's crazy to think about it, not expecting to be in Vinny Chase's situation, says Garoppolo. But I'm slowly turning into that.
It's on the West Coast, man.
Entourage, the ultimate in douchebag porn. There is nothing redeeming about that show.
I've only tried watching it for like a few minutes at a time. But of all the things in life that I don't get, that might be the biggest one.
Okay, all right. Any show where they use the term sweet kicks, bro. All right, no. I'm way out.
It's like one of the handful of times I've watched it, the final scene was like them on a private jet.
Yeah, with Kanye West. Like, whoa, dude, how awesome would that be, bro? And you're just like, all right, man.
It looks like an effing nightmare.
Yeah,
you're going to sit on a plane with Kanye West. I don't want to jump out.
Right. He screams at you.
God.
On top of that, there's like the term hug it out, bitch, I think came from that show.
Yes,
which is
right.
Wildly unforgivable. So, unfortunately, Jimmy G is
it's funny because I'm looking at a picture of Garoppolo, shirtless with his bros around a Vegas pool.
You're right.
That's part of the article. Like, right. That goes right in line with all of it.
I mean, it's I just like, yeah, I wasn't expecting to be in Vinny's
shape.
Oh, my
God.
But I'm slowly turning into that. Yeah! Oh, yeah. You Jimmy G.
You become the protagonist DB.
Okay. Wow. Right. You're the quintessential douchebag. Well, one guy that is definitely one of those is... 21. Yeah, that would be Ryan Lochte. Man, he's not very good at math.
He was off by seven.
Not too many there.
7 times 4.
21.
Dad, do you remember when he tried to, like, copyright the term? Y-E-A-H? Like, the term, like, yeah?
Yeah.
But it was such a revelation when he said it for the first time, and all his friends said, what did you just
what
say?
What is this? Well, he has found himself in a little bit of trouble. And this might be one of the all-time great self-owns. Now, there are some people who go on Twitter and they'll, you know, say some big racist tirade or do something, or put something offensive out there. And that's what ends up getting them in trouble. In Ryan Lochte's situation, this is just being a complete and total dumbass.
Lochte for president.
That's my favorite one.
Well, of course it is. Hang on. Where's the one where he talks about how, like, mind-blowing it was that he discovered the term jia? That is... Oh. I'll have to scroll through here somewhere.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth finding.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see. What is this it right here? Is this the one?
What defines me? Ryan Lochte.
What defines me, Ryan Lochte?
Boom, mic drop.
I think he really knows what the word define means. All right, well, I will find that sooner or later.
Probably part of that dating show that didn't go anywhere.
Oh, he had a dating show, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, let's set Ryan Lochte up on a date. That was part of it.
I think that was the name of it.
Date stuff. No, here it is.
How did I come up with the word Gia? I think it was, you know, I was just talking with a group of people, and instead of saying yeah, I said Gia, and all the swimmers were like, what the heck did you just say? I was like, Gia? And then they're like, what the heck was that? I was like, I have no idea, and I think it kind of just stuck with me.
He's married now. It's going to be a dad.
I imagine the conversation being a lot like Steve Jobs talking about the iPhone for the first time. You see, it doesn't flip or anything.
Whoa.
It's just, yeah. It's like, what did you say? No, it's just a screen that you touch.
What was this? Who are you hanging out with that's blown away by someone going, That would be something that actually never happened.
Lochte for president. Yeah.
So Ryan he's the best. So Ryan Lochte has been suspended 14 months by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency for receiving an intravenous infusion. Okay, so that apparently breaks any kind of anti-doping rules.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and how did they find out that he had been taking this intravenous infusion? That's because he posted a picture of him doing it on his Instagram page.
Oh,
yeah.
Just like said, hey, you know what? Here I am. And they said, you know what? We're going to suspend you. And he said, why? He goes, because you've been doing an infusion you're not supposed to be doing. He said, how'd you find out? And he goes, well, I mean, it's because you put it all over your social media.
The gram, dude.
It's on the gram. So have you been suspended? Of course you have. So he released a statement, which was written, which makes this great.
Crayon.
This is just called Ryan Lochte tries to read. You know, they had like Phelps versus Shark, you know, back in last
right.
Shark Week.
They should
have like Lochte versus English just to see if he can just sit there and read. Lochte versus literature or phonics. Lochte versus phonics. Yeah. Pronounce these words. Are you going to get half of them wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, you probably will. All right, so, Mike, is it right that we have... Okay, so he released this statement, but it's him reading it. Oh, he should have just tweeted out. Like, had his publicist or whoever he's got who wrote this thing should have just had them put it out in print.
Yeah.
And not have to read it. Do you have it, Dan? Okay, well, let's hear it.
On May 24th, 2018, I, along with my wife, Kayla, went to the doctor's office in Gainesville, Florida, where we received an IV infusion consisting of vitamins and including B12. There was no prohibited substances in the infusion. I received an inquiry from the United States Anti-Doping Agency about what was in the IV. I fully cooperated with their request. What I did not know was that even though I wasn't taking anything that was banned substances from WADA, which is a World Anti-Doping Agency.
This is a first grader's book report. I read a book, The Missing Piece. It was great. The piece was missing the part it needed. It was very, very sad until it was great.
I wasn't taking anything that was banned substances from WADA, which is a World Anti-Doping Agency. And there was nothing that I was taking that was prohibited on the list. Although,
is that him turning the page?
This makes Jacoby Ellsbury. Oh no!
Hang on!
Oh, no! Oh,
hang
there
on.
He is! Where is it?
What a shock!
He's here.
Manja.
An hour into the show. Here, how are you, Jermaine?
I'm going to get some water. It's not my fault you guys are right in front of the damn okay.
Of course not.
Place.
Of course. And the door was just there, so you decided to open it.
Yes.
I understand. I got to put it down. It was exactly 1 hour and 11 minutes on Wiggy's first show in the studio.
Yes, I had to come in here and give all three of you guys the bird. You know what that is.
I
was going to come in here and slap Fred on the back of the head, but unfortunately he's not here. So
what is this bird you speak of? I don't understand your street speak. You're so much from the hood. I don't understand what you're saying to me.
Bagging out French. All
right. You don't keep it so real for me. I don't get it.
God.
I don't understand what you're talking
finger,
about.
Jermaine,
I know you can do back in the studio in a couple minutes. You got a lot of talking
in a couple
to do.
Hours. Yes.
I just want to make sure that we're not keeping you away from anything.
Songs, go ahead.
How many minutes an hour do you guys actually say?
I don't know. I don't count the minutes.
How many songs an hour? How many songs an hour?
I prefer to talk more, but
how many songs an hour?
Play
eight.
Music.
Just say it.
Is it eight?
You play eight songs an hour.
You guys are all from the music world, so you should know that.
Yes, and I knew that eight songs an hour usually meant your show is about to get canceled.
I have no idea. I just walk around the building.
Of course you do.
You just happen to wander over here.
Usually you add more songs as the ratings went down.
And they've got one more full-time person on the mic than we do.
Hey, actually, our ratings are pretty good, so hey.
Listen, Jay-Z's songs, obviously, but everyone wants to hear them.
No, we don't play Jay-Z. Drake, come on. Get up on your side, brother.
Drake.
Get up on your knees.
Get up on your knees.
I bet it's still on, believe me.
Which bet?
The one where I can outdrive you.
Okay, here we go.
Even though I hate golf, but I can still drive you.
We got a new place to do it. It's going to be awesome.
Sounds good. I'll let you three jabronis get back to talking sports the best way you can, which is no way at all.
Okay, Jermaine.
Okay,
I mean, 1 hour, 11 minutes is all it took.
It's the
first day. And isn't it? And bird means the middle finger, we learned this morning.
Oh, that's right.
I've forgotten.
It is ironic that we were just doing a bit about someone who had a hard time speaking.
Hey,
there he goes back to sit and wait for him to be pointed at once every 45 minutes.
You may not believe this. Wiggy was actually just reading from a prepared statement.
All right, well, it finally happened. He triggered the alarm.
I can't wait till he comes in here with Fred here alone.
And just walked right in.
Yeah.
Without an invite, just, hey, I'm coming in. It's right. I told you.
Yeah.
There you go. So.
All right.
Why do I have a feeling that's not going to be the only time today we're going to have to trigger that alarm? Like, it's going. I mean, we might have two more before the end of the show.
No, the hell you say.
We might have two more.
Oh, then we're not that lucky.
All right. Well, we will.
Go home. We're done.
I know.
I'm going to give you it's called the bird if you haven't heard of one of those before. Wow. It's unreal what we're learning this morning from Jermaine Wiggins.
I need like an old, like dorky white dude to cool guy translator for this stuff. I don't know what he's talking about. What does he mean?
Right? I gave him the Eugene Levy face.
It's really a shame.
It's
really a shame we weren't on TV. The whole wigs out thing. He's got to perpetuate that, to drive people to his social media.
Without a doubt. All right, 617-779-0985. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and Hardy's been with us this morning, and I thought you would enjoy this because we were opining about it yesterday, or well, I don't even think that's the right word. Trying to sound
I'm
all
not sure.
Classy.
Yeah, that's one of those words I don't use.
We were.
I'm not sure. Opining. Let's see. Holding or stating one's opinion. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess maybe we're kind of right because I guess my opinion was that the Open on Sunday would have been one of the highest rated Opens in a long time, or at least one of the highest rated tournaments this year, at least.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were absolutely right. Final round, because of Tiger Woods, coverage at the British Open earned a 5.0 overnight rating, tied for the highest Sunday TV ratings at the championship since 2000, when Woods completed the career Grand Slam with his victory at St. Andrews. So the highest ratings that they've ever had since 2000.
18 years.
Just because Tiger for 20, 25 minutes took the lead?
No, it was longer than that. It truly was longer than that, and it started with him making like a birdie, and then he's within two strokes.
Oh, sure.
Well, it was the long, slow burn, and if you were engaged in any way online, you saw that
following Hardy 98.5 on Twitter.
Well, I mean, as many people do. Well, like,
how about Sunday? You were engaged just from what happened on Saturday that he had a chance. I think Sunday, a lot of people were like, you know what? This is something I want to watch. But for me, I turned it on when he was on, I think, like the fifth hole.
Hardy, I watched it right from the first shot of the final round, and following you on Twitter, Hardy, was worth it.
Well,
you are a worthy follow.
You might have been the reason I turned it on.
All the time, but if anyone had just been following you on Twitter and not watching it and seeing the series of tweets and some expletives there, then when Tiger actually took the lead, it's an automatic turn on, and
it was the TV. It was the ultimate of, you're not rooting for like necessarily a guy, just rooting for the story. What a story of having him in contention.
Sure.
And, you know, winning, losing, whatever was going to happen, the fact that, you know, he did overcome four-stroke deficit. I guess he was four back to start the day. I can't even remember now.
He was five, and the leaders were nine. Yeah. So, yes, four strokes.
And by the way, I we were also right. I had read somewhere that after he hit that double bogey and then the bogey, you could see that the ratings actually dipped. So sure. A lot of people did kind of what I did. Once Tiger was out, I was like, all right, well, I'll just find out who won later on. And it was always it was still interesting.
You weren't as engaged for a Xander Schauffele or Francesco Molinari victory as you would have been for Tiger Woods.
No, that I was not. Huh. So unfortunately, they didn't have me for that. Now, this is something that I don't even know if we're gonna have enough time to cover this because this might take a little bit. But R. Kelly. So yesterday, R. Kelly is a guy who, of course, did the whole trapped in the closet situation. You guys remember trapped in the closet, right?
How many parts to it? It's.
Oh, I mean, well. I think he did two complete like albums that were trapped in the closet.
Okay.
But it was the same song over and over again.
It's pure spectacle. It's one of the most spectacular pop culture phenomenons of the last 20 years.
Like, I couldn't believe it when it came out. It was a story that was, man, I mean, it involved like cheating, and it involved like a little person and Rosie the Nosy Neighbor. I mean, okay, so this is kind of just a part of every song sounded the same, and there were like 20 songs on each album. Dan, you have to pot it up? There you go.
Now the midget jumps out of the cabinet and stumps the policeman on his toe. The policeman's hopping around on one leg, screaming, son of a bitch, right, runs under the table. He yells, freeze, then dives over the table and lands on the midget.
Okay, so it was just like the ramblings of a crazy man. And by the way, as the midget started screaming, Bridget, Bridget, and how did he know he was cheating with the midget? How did you know that she was cheating with the midget?
He was trapped in the closet.
Mm-hmm, because she said, I made you a cherry pie, but she knows that Bridget is allergic to cherries. And so, indeed, it was because the midget wanted the cherry pie and not Rufus. So,
do you happen to have his dolphin song handy, by the way, Rich?
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, he was asked during an interview if he could
Make anything sexy?
Yeah, write a song on the spot and make it sound sexy, you know, with any subject matter. And he was asked, okay, do it. Write a song right now.
I got it right here.
Sexy song about a dolphin.
I have it. And he's just, I was like, right. I mean, this was nothing that was planned. He just said,
I want to be a dolphin to you. Going ee, going ee.
Okay, so as fascinating a human being as R. Kelly is, he might have also done some things that are criminal. And
maybe, probably.
I mean, there's all these allegations of sexual misconduct, and there was even allegations that he was running somewhat of a cult full of women that he wouldn't let leave his home. So how does R. Kelly respond like a maniac? And that is yesterday he released on his Instagram a 19-minute song called I Admit.
Oh.
Which, after hearing this, this is something that I believe is going to be played in court at some point. Let's just take a listen to... Okay,
that is going to be a 20-minute trial. Here's my opening statement, evidence, and the close, Your Honor.
Yeah, I'm guilty.
The prosecution rests.
We're not even able to get to any of this, but so Mike went through it. I listened to it a little last night, but Mike went through it and isolated some of the... And it's all ridiculous. I mean, the whole thing is just... It's insane. So let's take a listen. This is R. Kelly... Part of his 19-minute confessional that he recorded yesterday, a song called I Admit.
I admit it, I admit it, I did. I done f***ed with a couple of fans. I admit I'm a gift and a curse. I admit that I don't go to church. I admit it, I admit it. I admit it, I did it. I admit I got so many flaws. Told so many lies to these frauds. Lose so much money, pop so many bottles. Yeah, I f*** a bitch just because. I had a hell of a day, but I admit I was in my own way. I admit I had my mama crying over me. What else can a say?
Okay, so up to this point, this is just like him saying things that, you know, oh, you know, who hasn't made their mom cry before? And he goes, okay, this all seems, you know, somewhat innocent. I don't want to say innocent, but just not innocuous. And he continues.
What else can a say? I admit I can't spell for shit. I admit I couldn't read the teleprompter when the Grammys asked me to present. I admit I love God, but wait. Won't say no names, I'm not a snitch. But one night at the Ritz, I did some shit I shouldn't have did. Went and f***ed a bitch. I admit that I did. I f***ed my girlfriend's best friend. Yeah, I tapped that in back of my Benz. I admit I'm sorry for my sins. I admit it.
Okay, all right. Once again, these are things that are embarrassing. Yeah, hooked up with a guy. You can't read.
Well, we're kind of stepping up here. Right.
Hooked up with your best friend's girl. Yeah. Okay, all right. That's probably somewhat embarrassing. That's going to be an awkward conversation with your best friend. But up to this point, okay. All right, I get it.
I admit it, I did it. My lawyers told me settle this, even though it's bull. Kelly, protect your career. All these people in my ear. I admit I've been tempted by drugs. I admit that I just need a hug. I admit the devil talk to me sometimes, but the devil's not who I trust. How they gon' say I don't respect these women when all I've done is represent? Take my career and turn it upside down, cause you mad I've got some girlfriends. I admit I f*** with all the ladies. That's both older and young ladies.
Oh, no.
But
no.
Tell me how they call it.
No. Okay, no. All right, now we're starting to dip our toe in the water.
Now we're
just like, what are you about to say? Some young.
Maybe 14? Maybe involving certain acts that we can't even begin to talk about on the radio.
That's both older and young ladies. But tell me how they call it pedophile, because of that. That's crazy. You may have your opinions, entitled to your opinions. But really, am I supposed to go to jail or lose my career because your opinion?
Or the law.
So I deserve me a fair play. So put some respect on my damn name. Now, Wendy Williams mad with me, but I ain't never offer her no drink. But I admit that she asked me, can I get a little Hennessy? Then we both turned off our phones.
We drink, I smoke, we talk. And I admit that I told it all. From my good points to my faults. She said, what about Aaliyah? I said, love. She said, what about the tape? I said, hush. I said, my lawyer said, don't say none. But I could tell you I've been set up.
Okay, that's the P tape, right? And that is, so he's basically admitting that he did do what is being alleged with the P tape and someone who's not of age.
Yeah. Okay.
Aaliyah,
so this was
right?
Wendy Williams. He said, now, yeah. Wendy Williams mad at me. And then he says, she said, what about Aaliyah?
Aaliyah, okay, Aaliyah's the underage girl that he dated. All right, age ain't nothing but a number. Remember her album?
Sure. She said, what about the tape? I said, hush.
Okay, yeah.
My lawyer said, don't say nothing, but I can tell you I've been set up.
Okay, all right. So there is a videotape that involved.
Yes.
Okay, Aaliyah, one more time.
Now, Wendy Williams met with me, but I ain't never offer her no drink. But I admit that she asked me, can I get a little Hennessy? Then we both turned off our phones. We drink, I smoke, we talk. And I admit that I told it all. From my good points to my faults. She said, what about Aaliyah? I said, love. She said, what about the tape? I said, hush. I said, my lawyer said, don't say none. But I can tell you I've been set up.
All right, so he admits to the P thing happened.
He's going to jail.
He's going to jail. Do we have the part about the cult? Is that in there? Okay, we're gonna have to explore more of this tomorrow. Because at some point he like talks about it. He goes, yeah, I admit that I might have pulled some girls' hair. I admit that my I branded a few of them. And like, oh my god, like he admits like branding women with his like initials. Like, all right, this is we have to break.